We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Jenna Ellis here on the American Family Radio Network. And as we occasionally do, we like to simulcast with my good friend Chris Salcedo out of Texas. So if you are listening in Texas and you're hearing my voice instead of Chris, this is why. Because we have everyone nationally listening on AFR and then also those who are tuning in to Chris's show. So good morning, Chris.
Jenna Ellis, attorney, nationally syndicated host of the Jenna Ellis in the Morning and host of the Jenna Ellis Show out there on our friends at Salem Media. Folks, want to introduce you to her and in our audience, not only on Rumble and Getter, but anybody else who happens to be tuning in on KSEV. As you know, Jenna, our region was hit recently by a hurricane, so a lot of folks still struggling to get power back on, though the Texas authorities are working like a well-oiled machine to make sure everything gets back on as quick as humanly possible. So that's what we're enduring as we join you guys this morning.
All right. Well, our prayers are with you, and I'm assuming that Ted Cruz is not in Cancun at the moment. Can you confirm?
I can confirm he is firmly planted in the United States and very much in touch with what's going on here in the in the great state of Texas.
I always that was just one of the greatest headlines, and I love Ted Cruz and always give him a little bit of ribbing for that. But Chris Salcedo, great Newsmax colleague and radio host and commentator, and you were in Texas, and so I want to start with this story that you and I discussed last night. With Attorney General Ken Paxton, who is potentially getting impeached for a second time. And he released a statement that's titled AG Paxton slams desperate establishment plot to impeach, an explosive Newsmax interview with your colleague there, Rob Schmidt, last night. So what on earth is going on in Texas, and why in this moment?
Well, I've got to remind folks of the history of Texas. Into the 1990s, it was run by Democrats. So those who saw the political wind shifting, who were Democrats, they became Republicans because there is very little difference these days, and there are plenty of people on the Bush side, the Clinton side, trying to make sure, and a lot of people that work in establishment politics that try to make the parties indistinguishable. It's them against us, them against we the people. But anyway. So to lay the groundwork, there are plenty of people who call themselves Republicans in our state house who are really Democrats or have sensibilities, who hate conservatives, who hate conservative constitutional approaches to government and to the relationship between government and the people. These individuals have been thwarting conservative legislation in a majority Republican state for many, many moons now. And this all came to a head in the last legislative session when we had 8 legislative priorities from the Republican Party and only 1.5 were addressed by the legislature. In the meantime, this legislature that's allegedly controlled by Republicans moved hundreds of Democrat bills under the direction of Democrat Dade Phelan. Now, during this last legislative session, these left-wing Republicans, in service to socialists, they launched an impeachment, a falsely predicated impeachment against Ken Paxton. And during the trial, we found out that they were making all kinds of accusations with no evidence. They even admitted under oath, we have no evidence. Then they torpedoed parental school choice and education freedom. Then they killed a common sense bill. Jenna, I don't know how your audience feels about this, but everybody in my audience that I've talked to says, you know, it's not a good idea to allow foreign enemies to come in and buy land in your country. You shouldn't allow China to buy land next to your military bases or buy up your food production land. I mean, that's just silly. But Democrat Dade and his left-wing Republicans, they stopped it. It was a common-sense bill from the Texas Senate by Lois Kolkhorst, and they stopped it. Why? Because Democrats were upset that their good communist friends might be disadvantaged in their efforts to disadvantage the United States. So Dade Phelan delivered for socialists and Marxists. So last legislative session, Ken Paxton, after getting unfairly targeted with a fake impeachment, decided, hey, why am I sitting on the sidelines during this primary election coming up out of the last legislative session? So he decided to start politicking, unprecedented barnstorming the entire state of Texas. And guess what happened? 15 fake Republicans lost their gigs because their conservative voting base found out that they were two-faced, backstabbing Democrat socialist enablers. And so they lost their gigs. Now, Dade Phelan, who is a lame duck speaker, who is his party, these fake Republicans who have allowed Democrats to vote for Dade Phelan with these fake Republicans to put him in as speaker. That's how it's been done here the last couple of speakers. They're all running away from him because he's toxic, because he's just, everybody knows he's a Democrat now. So as a last-ditch effort, maybe as a parting gift to A.G. Paxton, they're going to go at this fake and false impeachment again, but now they're doing so in coordination with Joe Biden's corrupt federal government, because President Trump, who is ahead in all the polls, has floated the idea that he would not reject Ken Paxton as a candidate for Attorney General in the United States. By the way, who would clean up that cesspool that is the Department of Injustice? And we may get more into that in a minute, but that's the long and short of it.
And this just is such a clear example of the absolute corruption of a drive to power when you are completely unmoored from any sort of principle and all you care about is power and then revenge when you're found out and your dirty deeds come to light. But Chris Salcedo, what possible basis could they have for impeachment when, I mean, we all watched that trial that was just so incredibly stupid, quite frankly, and showed that it was based on a total fiction, and Ken Paxton was justifiably acquitted. So how are they possibly going to succeed or think they're going to succeed a second time?
My sense is, first off, as the lawfare against President Trump and others show, they don't need a valid reason or a lawful reason. They're just going to go after you. That they're just going to throw as much tar and feathers at you as they can and hope it all sticks, and that it will torpedo your chances to be in government and to make real change. That's the attack on President Trump. That's the attack on the conservative movement. That's the attack on Ken Paxton. They want to, because they believe he's under serious consideration. And by the way, I must reiterate this: if Ken Paxton were to be made the Attorney General of the United States, that corrupt institution that is now the Department of Injustice would be cleaned up. And they can't allow that because they rely on the crooked, lawless leftists who are institutionalized in the Department of Injustice to keep the good times rolling, to keep the American people's rights tamped down, to keep these elites in power and unchallenged. And Trump and Paxton and others like them who believe in constitutional conservatism, they are a big threat, and that's why they find themselves. It doesn't matter the substance of the charge. That Ken Paxton, they tried to ruin him. They were hoping the pressure would be so great to their lawlessness that he would just resign. But he stuck in there. Just like Trump, he weathered whatever they threw at him, and on the other side, he became probably the most influential politician in the state of Texas as he delivered historic losses for weak and fake Republicans.
Wow. And you're so right that it doesn't have to be any kind of actual legal basis. I mean, that's the definition of lawfare, is just using the system to attack political opponents unjustifiably, like what they have done in New York against Donald Trump. And we've seen how that has been completely contorted and manipulated in just shameful ways. And yet, I mean, the Democrats always fail because because the truth, I believe, at the end will prevail. And the first impeachment, of course, failed because the Texas Senate was remarkably sound in their decision. Do you think that the Senate is in the same position of understanding that this is just lawfare and they will shut it down pretty quickly? I mean, they could potentially do something like what the United States Senate did with the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas and just said, you know, we're not even going to have a trial. And of course, that was total nonsense. They should have. But could the Texas Senate do that same thing and say, listen, this, we know that this is ridiculous. We're not even going to entertain it.
They could. And let's be clear. There is a meeting set for next Wednesday with these Democrats. It's, by the way, Dade Phelan is such a good Republican, he created a committee inside of the Texas House that is majority Democrats. That's how much of a good Republican Dade Phelan is. We all know he's a leftist. We all know he's a Democrat. Dade Phelan has, because he's incredibly wounded, he won his reelection by 366 votes, courtesy of Democrat votes, because still in Texas, we're in the process of stopping this. They're open primaries. So the Democrats came to Dade Phelan's rescue knowing that nobody screws over conservatives, nobody screws over Texas like Dade Phelan. So they saved him. So this meeting that's going to take place is staffed with majority Democrats, with fake Republicans, and with lame duck fake Republicans who have a serious axe to grind because they lost their jobs because Ken Paxton campaigned against them, which he had every right to do. So we don't exactly know if they're going to turn over documents to the FBI and then let the feds take over. We don't know if they're going to launch another impeachment on their own. It all depends, in my view, of how much people are made aware of what they're about ready to do. And I must point out, there are certain Republicans who are still in elected office, might I suggest, will be putting targets on themselves in the next round of primaries. And perhaps they should think twice about what they're about ready to do, because 15 Republicans lost their gigs, historic primary election. Those Republicans who are going to put their names on yet another farce should be very leery about how fed up the people of Texas are with a government that wants to, a so-called Republican government that its main job is to attack Republicans rather than do the will of the people of Texas.
And I'm so proud of the Texas voters for seeing through this and for getting rid of those 15, you know, rhino Democrat lights and getting in some actually really good representatives, including our good friend Katrina Pearson. I'm really excited that she is one of them that is going to the Texas House. But in just the last minute or so before we have to take a break here, Chris Salcedo, is there time to get this impeachment through, or is this, how quick of a timeline are we talking about?
My sense is, and this is just me knowing the level of coordination between socialists and these fake Republicans here in Texas, my sense is because he's being floated for the possibility of the Attorney General's position under a new Trump administration, they want to do this before election. They want to get this done. And certainly before the next legislative session, when all of these rhinos are officially out of the box. So that's my sense. They're going to try to do it right away. And I believe that because we're sounding the alarm on this early, there are a lot of forces already marshaling. And I've got a soundbite, which I don't think we have time to play. But maybe during the course of our visit here, we can play a little bit of Paxton on Rob Schmidt's show last night. But as we go to break, then, let me just ask you, because I'm hoping to ask you some questions in the next segment about Merrick Garland. There's an inherent contempt vote scheduled for today, but it's not the inherent contempt vote that you or I, Jenna Ellis, wanted. So as we go to break here, let's just set the table for the folks. We've got Merrick Garland out there who has committed the same crime, allegedly. Actually, he's in contempt of Congress, so it's not allegedly. He has committed the same crime that Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon have committed. Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro are in jail, but the Department of Injustice says, hey, we only throw Republicans in jail. We don't throw Democrats in jail. So Merrick Garland will not be going to jail courtesy of the Department of Injustice. So now it falls to the Congress to use its power to enforce their subpoena power, which is a constitutional right they have.
Well, let's talk about that on the flip side of the break. And we're simulcasting with the Chris Salcedo Show. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and we are in the midst of our simulcast that we like to do every once in a while with my good friend Chris Salcedo, who is host on Salem Radio, the Chris Salcedo Show out of Texas, and then also on Newsmax. And he's going to rejoin in just a minute. And so to set up kind of this next story that we want to talk about, and I'm being told that Chris Salcedo is back now. So hi, Chris. Yes. And we are back from the break. Yeah.
We're getting so good at this, man. It's like we just came back just when you were saying, hey, we're waiting for Chris Salcedo. It's like, oh, great. We're timing this out perfectly.
Fantastic. So
I know that you are a constitutional conservative. I know that you are an individual who values and cherishes the rule of law. And I am cut from that same cloth, not with your experience, certainly, but I really do appreciate the equal application of law. And we have Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon sitting in jail for defying lawful congressional subpoenas. They are doing jail time as you and I are speaking. Merrick Garland is also defying a lawful congressional subpoena, yet we're being told because he is who he is, because he's a Democrat, because he's the Attorney General, he gets a get-out-of-jail-free card. Anna Paulina Luna has wanted to force a vote, it's called inherent contempt, to jail Merrick Garland in the Capitol jail, send a sergeant-at-arms to arrest him and until he complies with that lawful congressional subpoena, because the DOJ has said, we don't follow the law equally here. Our job is to disadvantage Republicans, not arrest lawless Democrats. That's their position, apparently. I'm sad to report to you, and I want to hear your reaction. Four Republicans tried to stop this Anna Paulina resolution, and I've got the list if you want to hear it a little bit later. But this resolution itself is not jailing Merrick Garland. It's only fining him $10,000 a day until he complies, which, by the way, his money comes from the U.S. taxpayers. So it's really hurting us. Your reaction and analysis, please.
Yeah, and this is definitely a watered-down version from the inherent contempt push, and you're absolutely right. When I saw that the proposal was a $10,000 per day fine, it's not coming out of Merrick Garland's own salary or his own pocket, so it really doesn't do anything other than have an optics-driven view if this even passes. And but broadly speaking, for the Department of Justice to say we are going to go after people like Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon, I've said, to a lot of consternation of, you know, very hardcore supporters on the right, because I am so committed to the rule of law and that it's actually true that no one is above the law, but no one is below the law either, by the way, and that it is true even if your last name is Trump. No one is below the law. And all that Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon had to do was sit in the chair and plead the fifth. Or they could have taken their subpoenas and actually asked for a court to find those subpoenas invalid. They chose not to do that. Now, the DOJ has never actually pursued jail time for that type of offense in because it's just so ridiculous. And so they're going way too hard, in my view, after Bannon and Navarro. But then to say that the Attorney General, just because he's the Attorney General and we're the Department of Justice, we are not going to apply that same standard is utterly hypocritical. And I've always said, Chris, if the Democrats didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have standards at all. And I think for the DOJ, which has a huge, huge optics problem heading into November, for this type of issue to be at the forefront right now is very bad for the Biden administration. And so even though this is a toned down version, I think that Anna Paulina Luna, Representative Luna, is right to push this because it allows the Republicans to continue to point out the hypocrisy, and the Democrats are going to have to somehow justify it. And we're going to see, hopefully today, around 10 a.m. Eastern, what that vote actually is. And we're going to see, are there Republicans that are going to side with the Democrats, or are they going to stand up and say, no, everyone deserves equal protection under the law? And frankly, what I would love to see come out of this, because historically we've seen, you know, Eric Holder get a pass for this, even Trump's own Attorney General, Bill Barr, who was held in contempt of Congress, his DOJ didn't pursue it. And, you know, Republicans and conservatives should want the rule of law to apply equally to everyone. There has to be some solution that the DOJ isn't the only prosecutorial entity on the federal level, that there can be a special prosecutor perhaps that's appointed by Congress. I mean, there has to be some kind of legislative solution that the DOJ isn't just this rogue entity that they have total insulation from the law because they are the prosecutors. And so that's the long-term solution that I would like to see, because that happens on the state level. If there's something that goes on in a district attorney's office, for example, and they are somehow conflicted off, like one of their own members is charged with an offense, you get then the state attorney general that comes in to prosecute, or a special prosecutor. We don't have something similar for the DOJ, and I think that that is utterly reckless, and it lacks accountability. So I'm interested to see where this goes from here, but your thoughts on that as well, Chris, because I just think that it's so wrong that the DOJ does not have any method of accountability when their own actors and even their highest chief then are subject to the law.
Yeah, you know, and I would say maybe nothing that's legislative, but there's a little thing that we call the Constitution that is filled with checks and balances that allow the legislative branch to check executive abuse and power. And that's what the inherent contempt vote is about. That's what the Capitol jail cell is for. The founding fathers foresaw an executive branch that went rogue, that went lawless, the way Beijing Biden's regime has done, a lawless Department of Justice that is completely and hopelessly politicized. So there is a check. You have the ability to send the House Sergeant at Arms to go arrest somebody in the executive branch who is not complying with a lawful congressional subpoena. They've already got the power. But here's the problem. These Republicans are more dedicated to finding a Democrat butt cheek on which to firmly plant their lips rather than being committed to the equal application of the law, the equal application of justice. And let me tell you some of the names of these Republicans who said, you know, I think that the Democrats are right. They are special, and they deserve the right to violate the law with impunity, and we should also be throwing conservatives in jail for doing the same thing. John Duarte from California, a so-called Republican. Dave Joyce, a so-called Republican. Tom McClintock, also from California, so-called Republican. And Mike Turner from Ohio. They tried to stop this watered-down vote against Merrick Garland. The watered-down vote to fine him $10,000 a day, which we Americans will foot the bill for, as you already alluded to. My question to you is just a legal standard, Jenna. The legal standard says if one person violates the law, they should meet the same punishment that other people violated the law got. For example, the Black Lives Matter, the Antifa rioters, they were treated way differently than the January 6th rioters. So the reason why we have a two-tier justice system is because Republicans continue to accept it. No?
Oh, absolutely. Republicans are not actually willing to use the power of government that has been distributed to them by virtue of the Constitution. And you know, and you mentioned that the Congress already has the tools. They do in this instance for inherent contempt of Congress, but they can also legislate further in accordance with the U.S. Constitution to put even more safeguards around a rogue DOJ. And if Congress, especially in, even though it's a very slim Republican majority right now, if they actually got themselves together and they wanted to use their power under the U.S. Constitution to legislate, they could curb a lot of this and they could force a lot of this through. But, you know, we have Speaker Mike Johnson yesterday who's meeting with, you know, President Zelensky. And I mean, open your checkbooks again, everybody. I mean, those are the priorities right now. And I'm glad to see that Congress at least did pass the SAVE Act. I mean, they're doing a couple of things that are good. But overall, the Republican majority is not actually conservative. And this is the problem with the Republican Party, is that it is not a coalition that actually agrees on conservative values anymore. And so we don't have a conference that is in lockstep. I mean, when you have these four Republicans that joined with all the Democrats to table this resolution and not hold Merrick Garland in contempt, we shouldn't have even had to have a watered-down inherent contempt resolution anyway. I mean, this should have been a no-brainer that if Merrick Garland is refusing to turn over these audio tapes that clearly Congress is entitled to, then of course the sergeant-at-arms should go and haul him off to jail and say, you know, no, Mr. Attorney General, you need to comply with Congress. I mean, that's basic law. And yet Republicans do not have the political will to actually utilize their power to affect change. And this is, Chris, what I've been preaching basically from this radio show for the last couple of years now, is that Republicans actually don't want to be world changers. Democrats do. And what we are seeing heading into November, and the disaster that is the Biden administration and every other state level Democrat, and how much they have changed the world from when Trump was in office, is because they are actually willing to use their power and even manipulate their power and even go beyond the limits of their power and use lawfare and all of these things because they want to affect the outcome that they prefer. And Republicans actually have truth and goodness and the Constitution on our side, and somehow we don't have the political will to actually stand firm in our resolution. I mean, we were talking last night just about the RNC's platform and the watered down issues on pro-life and the definition of marriage and the traditional family. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in that, but we can't even stand up as a party of conservatives and say, yeah, this is where we stand and we make no apology for it. And so no wonder we don't have the political will to have the attorney general, you know, hauled off by the sergeant at arms because he's not willing to give over audio tapes that absolutely Congress deserves. And I, for one, am very tired of having to vote for, you know, just the lesser of all of the evils and all of these weak Republicans. I mean, thank goodness, like we were talking about in the earlier segment, Chris, that Texas actually got it together and said, no, we're getting rid of these rhinos and we're going to get in some actually good Republicans. But there are so many people who I know are listening across the country right now that know that come November, you know, it's the Democrat or the Democrat light on the ticket. And a lot of people are really frustrated with that on the state and local and federal level. And so where are the good conservatives? Where is the backbone? And where is the spine to say, you know, no, the rule of law is actually for all, and we're going to hold the Democrats to that.
Here's the problem, and I think you've articulated it beautifully. By the way, folks, Jenna Ellis, simulcasting here with the Chris Salcedo Show. We do this every once in a while. A good pal of mine, we've become friends over the last couple of years. There's a saying out there, I didn't coin it, but I love it. Every conservative is a Republican, but not every Republican is a conservative. And I want to play for you, Jenna, the difference between these four so-called Republicans who, as you articulated, don't have values. They don't have, there is no common purpose among the Republican Party. They can't even agree to oppose Democrats. That's how bad it is. These four Republicans, Duarte, McClintock, Joyce, and Turner, the difference between those types of Republicans and a conservative. Here's Ben Shapiro just roasting Eric Swalwell yesterday on
so
this
good.
Hearing on Capitol Hill. I know you know about this soundbite, so I wanted to play it for the folks. Listen to this.
Mr. Shapiro, thank you for joining us today. I think it is important that you're here. as one of the leading conservative voices in the country. And the country has, in the last couple weeks, talked a lot about and Googled Project 2025. It's one of the most Googled search terms right now. And you're not going to get any censorship from me. So I just wanted to know, from your perspective, I think it would help us understand, on just like a scale of 0 to 100%, how much do you support Project 2025?
I think, like President Trump, I haven't looked all that deeply at Project 2025, but it seems that Democrats on this committee, sort of like Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, if they say Project 2025 enough, their presidential candidate becomes alive again.
So what Shapiro was saying here is the Democrats, Jenna, are desperate to talk about anything, any boogeyman they can find, so they don't have to talk about the lie they've perpetrated under this country for the last 4 years.
Oh, absolutely. And they are in such disarray. And yesterday I was watching Jake Tapper on CNN when they were trying to suggest the Biden campaign that George Clooney had less stamina than Joe Biden because he took a quick photo op and left the donor event. And Jake Tapper literally almost started laughing at her. It's just so utterly ridiculous that the Democrats themselves and even their own propped up leftist media can't hold it together anymore. And nobody is buying the lie anymore. And it's not just that people like, you know, Jake Tapper and Chuck Todd and all of these are suddenly, you know, wonderfully now aware that Joe Biden is mentally incompetent. They've known this for a while. They've just been willing to accept the cover from the White House. But make no mistake, Chris, Democrats have been lying to us. Why should we ever trust them ever on anything?
Amen. Amen. And by the way, folks, the Chris Salcedo Show, I was out yesterday, so had I been in, Jenna would have been watching me. But she was watching. Since I wasn't on my show yesterday and I had to see the guy about the thing, because I wasn't there, she was watching Jake Tapper. That's okay. That can be forgiven, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But well, and I do watch you quite frequently, Chris, and you know, I've been a guest on your show many times, and just you do such
teasing.
A great job.
We're friends like this. This is why we can do this. We're friends like this. This is what we
100%.
Do.
100%. And you would have laughed harder than Jake Tapper, and it would have actually been a better clip if that had been the Newsmax correspondent telling you that. It would have just been like, oh, these people are absolutely crazy. But we're already up against another break. Chris Salcedo, it goes by so fast, but thank you so much for simulcasting and also especially giving us the insight into Texas and everything that is going on. We need to stand up for truth as we always do, and especially those in Texas, call your state representatives, call your state senators and tell them this is absolutely, you know, just utterly ridiculous. Give them your thoughts on this lawfare against Ken Paxton, because when the voters rise up and say, you know, we're not willing to accept this, then you can actually implement a lot of change. But we'll be right back with more here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show, and that's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or $140, helps to rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Well, if you've been following the headlines about who is public enemy number one, that title absolutely goes to Oklahoma's top education official, Ryan Walters, the Oklahoma superintendent, who is bringing the Bible back to classrooms and says that the state's social studies and civic standards are going to be overhauled by a committee that includes Dennis Prager, David Barton, Steve Dace, Kevin Roberts, who is the president of the Heritage Foundation. This is making the left go absolutely insane, and I love it because this is exactly the kind of people who you want developing a curriculum. So, Ryan Walters, good morning, and thank you so much for everything that you are doing for Oklahoma and for the country that is watching. And I know that other states are going, I wish that we were as cool as Oklahoma.
Well, thank you for that, Jenna. Hey, listen, you know, we want to make sure our kids have the best understanding of American history. I'm so tired, and parents have been fed up with the teachers union pushing lies onto their kids. And you look at this and you say, you know, we want the best in the country to help us develop our history curriculum, our history standards, so that our kids understand it. You know, we've seen all of this DEI, CRT, this anti-American nonsense and standards and curriculum, and we're going to make sure that doesn't happen in Oklahoma. We're going to make sure our kids understand the history of this country. And frankly, that you've seen the Bible taken out of schools. Well, how do you teach history without talking and referencing the historical context of the Bible? So we're very proud to put the Bible back in the classroom as well.
And that makes so much sense because it's just a fact that America is founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview that comes from the God of the Bible, and that that school children should be exposed to the worldview that led to the greatest nation in my view, on the history of the earth, and just understanding what America is genuinely all about. And, you know, and the left, of course, is pushing back and saying, you know, oh, separation of church and state, which is, by the way, nowhere in the First Amendment, but, you know, but saying that you can't teach the Bible, and yet their own religious texts, like queer theory, like Marxism, which are religious worldviews, they're perfectly fine with that kind of indoctrination, but not the Bible.
You know, that's exactly right, and I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, you're not going to find the phrase separation of church and state in the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. And it's a phrase that they've really weaponized even more and more over the years, so much so to now try to make that apply to, you can't have a Bible in its historical context in a classroom. So, you know, the question I ask is, so it's the most read book in American history. It's the most purchased book in American history. It's the most cited book in American history. Well, how in the world do you teach a history class without referencing that book? I mean, what book meets that standard then, right? If the Bible doesn't, what does? And then I was on an interview the other day with, you know, one of these left-wing hosts from CNN, and they pressed me on, well, how do you know that the God being referenced by the Pilgrims and being referenced by Thomas Jefferson is a Judeo-Christian God? And I was just like, well, thank you for the example of why we need history back in our schools. I mean, you can't go back and rewrite history. And that's what, look, the left can be offended, they can be mad, they can be upset, but they can't rewrite our history. Our kids have to understand why the Pilgrims risked their lives to come here. Well, why did so many Americans believe that our rights came from God? Where did that belief come from? We look at a letter from a Birmingham jail. Martin Luther King Jr. says, you know why I'm here? You know why I continue to stand against the law I see as unjust? Because I look at the Apostle Paul. I look at biblical examples, and I'm called to a higher truth. That's Martin Luther King Jr. Well, how do you explain his actions and his behavior in the civil rights movement if you don't talk about Bible or Scripture? I mean, you are lying to kids, and this is because the left doesn't want kids to be proud of our country. They don't want them to understand this country, and they want to indoctrinate them.
Yeah, so well said. And I'm speaking with Oklahoma State Superintendent Ryan Walters, who is overhauling the curriculum for schools to simply reflect the truth of our national heritage, to explain civics. I mean, how do we, and it's such a great question, how do we explain why we as a country separated from English rule, and why we just celebrated last week Independence Day, and that beautiful worldview statement that truth is self-evident, that God endows us with our unalienable rights, if we don't explain the context of that? And yet the left, who clearly they haven't read the Bible because they think that this is just, you know, a bunch of fairy stories that have nothing to do with reality, they don't understand that the Bible is actually a history text. It's actually so much more than that, that gives a chronology of of world history, up until, of course, the New Testament. But then we also have, Revelation, the end of all things. I mean, they just think of this as a purely religious text that is trying to push the Christian religion onto students, rather than, as you rightly point out, Ryan Walters, the Bible actually is so much more than that, and should be studied if kids actually want to understand our American heritage. You can't separate it from that. I mean, this is why we have the lawgivers going all the way back to Moses in the Old Testament that are literally in stone in our Supreme Court building in Washington. I mean, this is our history, and you can't divorce our law and our policy and the way that our founders created a constitutional republic, understanding what powers need to be separated and why we have to give government some legitimacy, but then also to have enough restraint so that we don't get a tyranny that, frankly, we find ourselves in currently. We can't understand all of that philosophy without having the backdrop and the context of history, which includes the Bible. And so talk about this curriculum more that you have proposed. And I know that people like my good friend Steve Dace are already working on this. What was the design for, bringing in some of these really great, I think, just civics philosophers like Dennis Prager, Kevin Roberts, Steve Dace?
Yeah, so what we've seen in education has been controlled by the radical left, by these left-wing institutions. You see them all the way down. You see it at the federal level with the Department of Education, but you see it all the way down to the local level. You see it embedded in state departments of education. When I came into office, I fired 130 of the staff there. I mean, we had embedded left-wing bureaucrats. And so we've come in and said, listen, the left has completely tried to control everything all the way down to curriculum. So what I want is I want folks that understand American history, understand how to articulate that in a way that kids are going to be able to understand it. And we're going to come in here and we're going to have the best history standards in the country. We're going to find the best minds from around the country to come in here and help us develop out that story of America. We want our kids to be able to truly understand it. We don't want any of our history censored from our kids. We want them to truly understand that because, you look at it too, and when the left has taken away any type of moral, religious reference in our history, you look at folks like Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, who were very clearly, you think about some of John Adams' quotes about, this Constitution was made for a moral or religious people. And part of so much of what they articulated was an equation that, yes, our rights come from God. We maximize those individual liberties. And there's also the citizenry has to be moral or religious so that they can self-govern. That's how maximizing individual rights work. Well, gentlemen, we don't tell half of that story. We're lying to our kids. Our kids aren't getting that picture. And Winston Churchill said, the further back you look is the further ahead you can see. And how in the world are we going to move this country forward and continue to be the greatest country in the history of the world if our kids don't even understand the history of where we came from? And that's where we are so excited with this group that we have to help us develop these standards.
And it makes so much sense. And I'm speaking with Superintendent Ryan Walters from the great state of Oklahoma about this new curriculum. And it's absolutely true that you have to understand where we've been to have a vision for where we are going. But that's exactly what the left wants to cut off. And that's what we've seen through all of their attempts to not only revise history, but also erase history. I mean, this is what we saw in the midst of 2020 and even further than that. In terms of tearing down statues and saying, that Thomas Jefferson, it's too racist for our kids to understand about it. I mean, we're not saying that America was perfect, but we're saying that we have to learn the accurate history of what happened and the philosophy of the founders. And then as we've continued through our last 250 years of this American experiment, to understand what it is that we're doing. Because you're absolutely right, Ryan Walters, that if we just have this view, and there is this segment on the right as well, that just has this view that
we can self-define our own reality, and individual self-government and freedom means that I get to self-determine literally everything, including, you know, my gender, my immutable characteristics, and I can redefine reality, and government is an inherently evil institution, and all of these things that actually don't comport with reality. And so we have to understand what the institution of government actually is and why God ordained it and how it functions legitimately, but within all of these guardrails. And that's what our founders contemplated when they went to the Constitutional Convention, when they drafted the Declaration of Independence. And if we don't learn from that, then we're not giving our children the complete inheritance of the blessings of liberty in this country. I mean, I am so proud to be an American, not because of Biden's administration right now or because of the crazy leftists, but because I am proud of our founding, and not that it was perfect, but because we have this brilliant system that allows for a free exercise of religion, for all of these things and these rights that our founders understood come from God, our creator, not our government. But it's the government's job to preserve and protect those rights. And if government doesn't understand what our rights are, how are they possibly going to preserve and protect it? If our kids, who later will become our leaders and our elected officials, if they don't understand what the government was designed to do and those bounds of legitimacy versus illegitimate power, how will they ever understand to effectuate the duties of their office or to be good citizens and even, you know, vote according to the principles of liberty?
You know, that's exactly right. And look, one of the main goals of our education system is to produce good citizens that can turn around. This is a constitutional republic. We place an incredible amount of responsibility onto our citizens. And a big part of that is helping make sure they understand how does our government work? How is it designed to work? What is our history? So that they can make wise decisions to continue to move this country in the right direction. And you know what? When schools decide arbitrarily, you know what? We don't want to mention God. I mean, he's mentioned by every president and every, you know, in all their speeches, Bible verse after Bible verse, most cited book in American history. But we don't want to talk about it. What we've allowed is schools to become state-sponsored atheist centers. I mean, they're literally saying, listen, we are going to take this out because we don't like it. And so now our kids are going to believe that all the decisions made in our nation's history are completely absent of morality, of faith, and religion. And that's not true. So you are pushing atheism on kids by pretending like the faith and the role, and frankly, just what they even said. And that's why so much of the committee we talked about that we put together in Oklahoma we're so proud of, we're focusing on primary sources. I mean, you know this, Jenna, you're very well read on all of these things. You can't read the founders and not see the role that faith played in their decision-making. I mean, you just can't. But what we've seen in education is, guess what? Kids aren't reading primary sources. They're not reading the Federalist Papers. They're not reading the Anti-Federalist Papers. They're not reading the Constitutional Convention notes. They're reading what somebody in the 1970s or 80s or some historian said about them. Well, that's ridiculous, okay? Kids can read the primary sources. They should. That gives them a proper understanding. And frankly, you're insulting their intelligence. We should have enough academic rigor that kids should be able to read through these documents, understand them, and understand them in their proper context.
Absolutely. And you're right to call it the atheist indoctrination, because that's really what public schools have become, are atheist Marxist indoctrination camps. And the left would like to put up this guise of a separation of church and state and say, oh, this is totally secular, but it's teaching their religious point of view. And it's actually not teaching the appropriate history and the truth and the fact of America's founding. And so all you're doing is saying, no, we need to teach the truth and the accurate history. I mean, when I was in law school, and I love saying this because this actually surprises a lot of people. When I was in law school, and I know for a lot of my law school colleagues out there, even in constitutional law class, we didn't even read the primary source of the U.S. Constitution. All we did was read the Supreme Court opinions about the Constitution. I mean, Chevron deference that just got overturned, that was taught in administrative law classes. You know, this is exactly what the Constitution says. Well, clearly it's not. I mean, if you are going to be able to contrast the opinions of others against the truth and the law itself and the primary source, you have to know what the Constitution says. So this makes so much sense. And in just the last minute I have with you, why do you think that you are one of the only ones who is doing this in the country? I mean, you've come under such strong attack, Ryan Walters, and we're praying for you and we're grateful for you as an AFR family. Why do you think that you're one of the only ones doing this in the country?
Because the left has such a stranglehold on education, even in red states. And I know, Jenna, I know that will surprise a lot of your viewers out there. I mean, I'm in a state that is incredibly conservative, and I'm very Republican. But we have Republicans in our state legislature that are bought off by the teachers union. We had an agency that was embedded with leftists. I mean, it's unbelievable when you look at the power unions, teachers unions yield in red states. I mean, look, we finally started getting school choice over the finish line. We're proud to have a universal school choice here. I fought for that 2 years ago, and I'm glad that we have that. But everything is a fight, okay? Well, they lost school choice. Well, now they fight us on transparency. They fight us on accountability. They fight us on standards. And, I mean, Republicans have to be willing to stand for parents, stand for kids, and stand up to this radical teachers union that, again, have taken our education system and turned it into a Marxist indoctrination factory. And that means you've got to go in and root it out. I mean, every little thing that they've embedded, you've got to get it out.
Well, thank you so much for standing up for truth. Superintendent Ryan Walters, you can follow him on X at Ryan Walters S-U-P-T. You can always reach me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.